Hello and welcome to Nice News. This is a broadcast about very interesting topics. I'm Joyce Vesper, your Sun Sounds of Arizona volunteer broadcaster. On Nice News, we cover information from all over the world, and the topics can be from healthcare to wellness to animals to kindness and even to archaeology. The program provides a time out from the daily news that doesn't always cover the happiest of topics. So, give a listen. Who knows what might give you a laugh or cause you to remember something from another era or even test your knowledge, like this article published by Clement Feliz. Ahoy, matey! Learn about these 10 quirky ancient sailor superstitions. Ahoy, landlubbers! Sailors of yore were a superstitious bunch, believing in omens and all sorts of rituals to keep them safe on the treacherous seas. But who can blame them? It was a dangerous profession to be a sailor in their times. From bananas to anchor tattoos, here are eerie maritime superstitions that were once part of the unwritten laws of the sea. No bananas on board! Why forbid a good source of fiber and vitamins during a long journey at sea? Well, you might wonder why. At first glance, the taboo doesn't seem to make much sense. It has been argued that the main reason were the fruit's tendencies to rot very quickly and bring in all sorts of bugs and critters, particularly the lethal Brazilian wandering spider. Eventually, the real reason got buried beneath the superstition, and the fruit became synonymous with calamity. And then there's the saying of whistling up a storm. Whistling was forbidden on board, as it was believed to summon fierce winds. The superstition likely stemmed from the sound mimicking the howling of the gale, striking fear into sailors' hearts. So should you ever find yourself at sea, resist the temptation to whistle, lest you be blamed for inviting misfortune on board. What about the common statement, pouring wine on deck? Spilling wine on the deck was seen as a good omen. It was believed to appease the sea gods and ensure a safe voyage. Similarly, when a ship is launched for the very first time, a bottle of champagne is smashed on the bow to bring about good fortune. Nevertheless, unless you are a captain, refrain from pouring wine on the deck without asking first, or you might end up scrubbing the deck. Then there's the saying, red sky at night, sailors delight. Red sky in the morning, sailors take warning. The old adage served as an ancient way of predicting the weather, with a red sky at night signaling fair weather on the horizon, and a red dawn announcing stormy or treacherous weather. Sailors trusted this rhyme to heart, and according to modern meteorologists, there's an inkling of truth in it. A red sky often means that there's a lot of water vapor in the atmosphere, and since in mid-latitude regions storms tend to move from west to east, the rhyme was as easy mnemonic as it was a device to broadly estimate weather patterns. Never start a voyage on a Friday. Although Fridays actually seem like one of the best days of the week to go sailing, this is a surprisingly enduring nautical superstition. Old sailors believed that Fridays were unlucky for embarking on a seafaring journey, especially if it was Friday the 13th. This superstition likely originated from the Christian belief that Jesus was crucified on a Friday, instilling fears in the sailors. Tattoos for safe passage? Sailors adorned themselves with tattoos not only for personal expression, but also for protection at sea. Designs like anchors and nautical stars were believed to ward off evil spirits and ensure a safe return home. The two designs actually served very specific purposes. An anchor was said to ensure a sailor would not get lost at sea should he fall overboard, and a nautical star allegedly helped sailors find their way home. Have you heard the saying, a sailor's best friend? The sight of an albatross trailing a ship was seen as a symbol of good fortune. Believed to be the souls of dead sailors, the birds were revered among seafaring adventurers, and killing one was said to bring great misfortune upon the ship. The superstition was likely popularized by Samuel Taylor Coleridge's poem, The Rime of the Ancient Mariner. which warned sailors against harming these majestic birds. And there's another saying called "Women on board bring storms." Historically, women were considered bad luck on ships. They were believed to anger the sea gods and stir up tempests. During the age of sail, women who wanted to heed the call of the sea were forced to disguise themselves as men, but in spite of the difficulties, some even became feared pirates, like Mary Read and Anne Bonny, who sailed under the command of the infamous Captain Jack Rackham. The misogynistic superstition persisted for centuries, despite the invaluable contributions of female sailors to the art of sailing. Crossing the line. To this day, when passing the equator, sailors often engage in all sorts of rituals and celebrations in the name of King Neptune. This quirky tradition actually goes back 400 years, beginning in the British Navy and becoming popular even in civilian or scientific crews. The ancient ritual is said to ensure safe passage into the southern hemisphere, and even Charles Darwin witnessed it during his voyages. This article, Ahoy Matey, learn about these quirky ancient sailor superstitions. Katie Boyden writes our next article, Man Hoarding Mice in Hobbit-Themed Homes to Cure His Depression. Simon Dell, 50, spotted a wild mouse in his South Yorkshire back garden in 2018 and was inspired to build it a house and photograph it. From there, the log pile house has expanded to an entire village featuring a pub, a bookshop, and adorable Lord of the Rings-inspired hobbit homes. Simon's garden has truly become a paradise for wild mice, and he shares the cute critters on social media, where he's gathered more than 150,000 followers. He explained, "I was sitting in my garden, and I could see cats sitting just feet away from the little mouse at the other side of the fence. I piled some small logs around the box as a home for the mouse and covered it with a moss and straw covering to give him a little shelter. I then put some wire fencing around the fence, and so there was no way that the cats could get to the mouse. We decided to name the mouse George." After saving the mouse, Simon began to add more homes next door, and within days, more mice had started to move in. The wildlife photographer began adding more to the tiny houses, fashioning detailed dining tables, washing lines, motorbikes, and even a weights set for the adorable rodents. Now, 6 years on, Simon says there are at least 20 mice, with possibly two family groups of mice, around 8 to 10 in each group. He explained, "Since 2018, when I started the concept of a mouse village, a lot has changed and the village has grown. Lots of new houses have come and gone. The only limit is my own imagination and skills at making the new buildings. As everything is made by hand, from recycled bits of wood, old logs, or just anything I can find in skips or the trash that could be given a new life. They have two of my old boots that have converted into mouse homes and lots of other types of homes scattered around the village. In fact, they have just about everything you would find in a village or even a town. Simon has plans to add a train station, a cafe, and a theater or cinema to the village's current amenities, a pub called the Log Pile Inn, a hardware store, and a large town house. Simon said the Mouse Village has given him and all of his followers immense joy amidst personal struggles. He explained, "As I have always suffered from depression, insomnia, and anxiety, they are always there to support me in good or bad times, and many find my photos and videos help them smile daily and lift their moods. That has always been my goal, to make others smile along with keeping my mind and body active. Without photography and the fun of making little things for little things, I could soon sink back into a deep depression. Photography gave me a reason to get up and get out in the morning, and the Mouse Village gave me back my smile. I hope it gives others the same joy that it gives to me." Katie Boyden wrote, "Man Hoarding Mice in Hobbit-Themed Homes to Cure His Depression." Jasper King writes, "Driver opens car door on busy motorway to rescue dog and reunites him with the owner. The video posted on TikTok shows the dog lost on the road in London as cars zoom past dangerously close to the pet. The dog is seen running down the carriageway, and the man says, "There's a dog," and the man has to save it. He says, "Come here, where are you going?" But the dog has other ideas and sprints away. The small dog is then seen running on a street at the side of the road, but the video shows traffic is held up. The video cuts to the man on a residential street and says, "Guys, I found it! I found it! I found it! Oh my days!" But the dog decides to do a runner once again, and the man is heard saying, "Oh my God! Look! Look! Hello! Come on! Come here! Come here!" After a chase, the dog stops outside a front door, and the man finds he has a telephone number on the collar. He then says to the dog, "We are going to take you home now." The man manages to contact the owner and says, "I just called the owner and she was so happy. We're going to go to Mama now." On the way to taking the dog to the owner, the man can be heard singing in his car to music while holding on to the pet. He pulls his van over and the dog's owner approaches the car and the man says, "There she is. Look, Mommy's come to save you. Look, Mommy's there." As the woman scoops up the pet called Marley, the man says he was on the motorway and describes his efforts to get to the dog. Just last month, video footage showed the moment a dog was actually rescued from under a tube train. Passengers traveling through King's Cross Underground Station were met with an intense scene as people scrambled to pull the dog from the gap between the platform and a train. In the footage, a man can be seen lying on the ground as he reaches below the edge of the platform while passengers waited on board the train. Luckily, the dog was lifted to the platform, where it cowered, and a chorus of "aww" from the crowd was raised up into the rooftops. This article, written by Jasper King, "Driver opens car door on busy motorway to rescue dog and reunites him with his owner." Millions of gamers advance biomedical research. Leveraging gamers and video game technology can dramatically boost scientific research, according to a new study published today in Nature Biotechnology. 4.5 million gamers around the world have advanced medical science by helping to reconstruct microbial evolutionary history using a mini-game included inside the critically and commercially successful video game Borderlands 3. Their playing has led to a significantly refined estimate of the relationship of microbes in the human gut. The results of this collaboration will both substantially advance our knowledge of the microbiome and improve on the AI programs that will be used to carry out the work in the future. Tracing the evolutionary relationships of bacteria. By playing Borderlands Science, a minigame with the looter-shooter video game Borderlands 3, these players have helped trace the evolutionary relationships of more than a million different kinds of bacteria that live in the human gut, some of which play a crucial role in our health. The information represents an exponential increase in what we have discovered about the microbiome until now. By aligning rows of tiles, which represent the genetic building blocks of different microbes, humans have been able to take on tasks that even the best existing computer algorithms have been unable to solve. The project was led by McGill University researchers, developed in collaboration with Gearbox Entertainment Company, an award-winning interactive entertainment company, and Massively Multiplier Online Science, or MMOS, a Swiss IT company connecting scientists to video games, and supported by the expertise and genomic material from the Microsetta Initiative, led by Rob Knight from the Departments of Pediatrics, Bioengineering, and Computer Science and Engineering at the University of California, San Diego. Humans improve on existing algorithms and lay groundwork for the future. Not only have the gamers improved on the results produced by the existing programs used to analyze DNA sequences, but they are also helping to lay the groundwork for improved AI programs that can be used in the future. We didn't know whether the players of a popular game like Borderlands 3 would be interested or whether the results would be good enough to improve what was already known about microbial evolution. But we've been amazed by the results, says Jerome Walschmull, an associate professor in McGill's School of Computer Science and senior author of the paper published today. In half a day, the Borderlands Science players collected 5 times more data about microbial DNA sequences than our earlier game, Philo, had collected over a 10-year period. The idea for integrating DNA analysis into a commercial video game with mass market appeal came from Attila Zatzner, an adjunct professor in McGill's School of Computer Science and CEO and co-founder of MMOS. As almost half of the world population is playing with video games, it is of utmost importance that we find new creative ways to extract value from this all time and brain power time that we spend gaming, says Zatzner. Borderline Science shows how far we can get by teaming up with the game industry and its communities to tackle big challenges of our times. Gearbox's developers were eager to engage millions of Borderland players globally with our creation of an appealing in-game experience to demonstrate how clever minds playing Borderlands are capable of producing tangible, useful, and valuable scientific data at a level not approachable with non-interactive technology and mediums. So said Randy Pritchford, founder and CEO of Gearbox Entertainment Company. I'm proud that Borderlands Science has become one of the largest and most accomplished citizen science projects of all time, forecasting the opportunity for similar projects in future video games and pushing the boundaries of the positive effect that video games can make on the world. Relating microbes to disease and lifestyle. The tens of trillions of microbes that colonize our body play a crucial role in maintaining human health. But microbial communities can change over time in response to factors such as diet, medication, and lifestyle habits. Because of the sheer number of microbes involved, scientists are still only in the early days of being able to identify which microorganisms are affected by or can affect which conditions, which is why the researchers' project and the results from the gamers are so important. We expect to be able to use this information to relate specific kinds of microbes to what we eat, to how we age, and to many diseases ranging from inflammatory bowel disease to Alzheimer's that we now know microbes to be involved in, adds Knight, who also directs the Center for Microbiome Innovation at the UC San Diego. Because evolution is a great guide to function, having a better tree relating our microbes to one another gives us more precise view of what they are doing within and around us, building communities to advance knowledge. Here we have 4.5 million people who contributed to science. In a sense, this result is theirs too, and they should feel proud about it, said Waldespool. It shows that we can fight the fear of misconceptions that members of the public may have about science and start building communities who work collectively to advance knowledge. Borderlands Science created an incredible opportunity to engage with citizen scientists on a novel and important problem using data generated by a separate massive citizen science project, adds Daniel McDonald, the scientific director of Microceta Initiative. These results demonstrate that remarkable value of open access data and the scale of what is possible, which is inclusive practices in scientific endeavors. This article, Millions of Gamers Advance Biomedical Research. Aristos Giorgio writes, metal detectorists find incredible artifact depicting Alexander the Great. Metal detectorists have discovered a unique artifact that archaeologists say features the depiction of Alexander the Great and is mystifying the experts surprised at the location of the find. Finn Ibsen and Lars Danielsson came across the object in question, a small bronze fitting measuring around an inch across near Ringsted, a city located centrally on the island of Zealand, Denmark. A mysterious and absolutely incredible find in the field, Museum West Zealand said in a Facebook. Finn and Lars were out with the metal detector in a field near Ringsted, and their eyes widened when it dawned on them what they had suddenly found. It is a tiny and absolutely spectacular find. The bronze disc is thought to date to around the year AD 200 and bears a portrait of Alexander, one of the greatest rulers of antiquity. And on one side, Alexander the Great ruled the ancient kingdom of Macedonia, centered on the northeastern part of the Greek peninsula between 336 BC until his death, 323 BC, at the age of 32. During his reign, he waged extensive military campaigns, creating one of the largest empires ever seen, spanning from Greece to northwestern India. Undefeated in battle, he is widely considered to be among the most successful military commanders in all of history. Alexander was already being venerated in the first centuries after his death, becoming a significant role model for Roman emperors. The emperor Caracalla, who reigned from AD 198 to 217, even saw himself as the reincarnation of Alexander. Alexander became a legend with which power could be justified. Many subsequent rulers wanted to use his face to show a connection to Alexander's greatness. Archaeologist Fred Oldenburger with the Museum of West Zealand told Danish media outlet TV2, "Alexander is easily recognizable on the bronze fitting found near Ringsted, which also contains traces of lead, thanks to the wavy locks of hair and ram horns beside his ears. It's fantastic. Up here in Scandinavia, you don't usually find anything about Alexander the Great," Oldenburger said. According to the researcher, the portrait is very similar to the one found at the Illerup Adal archaeological site on Danish mainland. This was the site of a great battle between two Germanic tribes that took place around AD 200, roughly when the bronze artifact from Zealand was made. Among the objects found at the site were shields featuring small decorative discs with portraits of warriors, and one of these bears the aforementioned image of Alexander the Great, which resembles the portrait on the artifact from Zealand. But despite the clear depiction of Alexander, the latest find raises many more questions than answers at this stage, according to the archaeologists. For example, it's not clear if the object was created by the Romans, who used the same lead-containing alloy for casting statuettes. Was it cast by the Romans from a remelted statuette, or did the remelting take place in Zealand? If the object was cast by the Romans, how did it end up in a field on Zealand? The territory conquered by Rome never reached the area occupied by modern Denmark. But the Romans did maintain trade links with the Germanic people who once lived in the region. And if the object is Germanic in origin, what was its significance to these people? Did they believe that it could bring good luck on the battlefield? Were they even aware of who the face represented? The possibility is that they saw one of their own gods in the artifact, but I actually think they knew it. Alexander's myth has been so big in Europe, Asia, and North Africa, Oldenburger said. It's also not clear what the function of the object was. It may have been a decorative disc for a shield, or it could have formed part of a belt sword holder, for example. The small bronze disc shows that even the smallest of archaeological objects can hide absolutely incredible stories, archaeologist Oldenburger added in a press release. This is a unique find in Scandinavia with connections to one of the most famous personalities in the entire world. And it is very important to world history. This article, written by Aristos Georgio, metal detectorist, finds incredible artifact depicting Alexander the Great. Kirsty Hatcher writes, 6-year-old girl runs into burning home and saves her family from fire. Wake up, Mom! A 6-year-old girl is being praised as a hero after saving her family from a house fire. Olivia Patterson was playing outside when she noticed flames coming from the roof of her home in the North Yorkshire, England location on April 4th, according to the UK newspaper The Times. Per the outlet in Yorkshire Live, Olivia's mom, Laura, 29, was sleeping on the couch with her two younger siblings, Joel, James, 1, and Tiffany, 2, when she ran into her home shouting, "Wake up, Mom! Wake up the babies!" The family managed to escape the fire, which started in the house next door and spread to the upstairs of the family's 3-bedroom home, unharmed. heaping praise on her amazing granddaughter. Olivia's grandmother, Sadie Gelder, 54, said, "We are absolutely so proud of her. She's got ADHD, so she's been absolutely amazing. We can't believe Olivia got Laura out. She's 6 years old and ran into a burning building. She looked up and saw a fire blazing upstairs. She was shouting, 'Wake up, Mom! The house is on fire! Wake up the babies!' The people in the street didn't think anyone was in because there wasn't a car on the drive," Gelder continued, adding that the family lost almost all their possessions in the fire. "They managed to get a few of the baby's clothing out, but everything else has gone. People have been donating beds, bedding, towels, things like that. She should be getting another council house, but it's all in the little things to help her build everything back. Laura and her children are now staying in an Airbnb and are awaiting the next steps in the recovery from the fire." This article, 6-year-old girl runs into burning home and saves her family from fire. Wake up, Mom, is written by Kirsty Hatcher. And here is the quote from the day. You're only as young as the last time you changed your mind. Flexibility was a cornerstone of psychologist Timothy Leary's work. He introduced new frameworks for group therapy and the therapist-patient relationship. Leary is best known for his studies on the transformative effects of psychedelic drugs, which led him to conclude that some hallucinogens can positively influence personality or outlook. While Leary's research remains controversial, his takeaway hits on the universal truth. By remaining flexible and willing to change our minds, we give ourselves more room to grow, expand our perspective, and live a fulfilling life. Again, he said, you're only as young as the last time you changed your mind. Well, I hope you enjoyed today's articles on Nice News. Please join us again next time when we cover interesting and uplifting stories on Nice News. This has been Joyce Vesper, your volunteer broadcaster for Sun Sounds of Arizona, a radio reading service. Please stay healthy, everyone. Be well. Be happy. Bye-bye.